All right, so we'll say good morning. Let's begin. So today's daf is Lamed Gimel. We left off actually on the top. Oh, no, we didn't left off on the top. Got excited there for a second. Yeah, not a chance. Okay, so we left off on Lamed Beis. Amud Beis. Actually, we have a lot to do today. All right, so remember again, we started with an interesting machlokes between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kafra. So the case we saw yesterday was in the case of the non-Kohen who went ahead and did the Avoda on Shabbos. Rabbi Chiya said, Yischayef twice. Once for going ahead and offering carbon as a non-Kohen. Number two, for violating Shabbos through the Avoda. And Bar Kafra said, no, Yischayef only once. So remember again, we left off Balmum, which is again, it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 20, 22, 20, 23 lines up from the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis. So remember, case number 2, Balmum Sheshimish Bituma. Let's say you have a Kohen who is blemished, who has a mum, who was also Tameh, and he did the Avoda. So we'll say, remember, so two things are happening over here. Number one, that he did Avoda as a Baal Mum. That's issue number one. Number two, that he did Avoda while he was Tameh. So what is the halacha? Rabbi Chiya says, Chayef Shtayim. Rabbi Chiya says, you're Chayef twice. Once for doing Avoda as a Baal Mum, and then the second time for doing Avoda while you are in a state of Tumah. Bar Kafra says, Ein Chayef ala Achos. You are only Chayef once. Kafas Rabbi Chiya v'nishpa. Rabbi Chiya got up and he went ahead and he swore. Well, it's like I was waiting for you. So our learning this morning is dedicated by Joshua and Rabin Karapkin. Joshua, who's Joshua? Shmuel and Rabin Karapkin. All right, maybe brother. Good. In memory of Rabin's mother Melanie Solomon, Pesa Mira Bas Chaim, and we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, her neshama will have an aliyah. So then the Gemara says, remember, so we'll say, fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kafra. Rabbi Chiya says, Yechayev Shtayim. Bar Kafra says, Yechayev once. Kafat Rabbi Chiya v'nishpa. Rabbi Chiya got up and he swore, Ha'avoda, I swear, Kach Shamati me Rabbi, Shtayim, I swear that Rabbi taught me that Yechayev twice. Kafat Bar Kafra v'nishpa. Bar Kafra got up and swore, Ha'avoda, I swear, Kach Shamati me Rabbi, Achos, you only Chayev once. So the Gemara says, Hischil Rabbi Chiya Ladon. So Rabbi Chiya started the dash. Remember, Rabbi Chiya is the one who says that Yechayev twice. Tuma l'kol nasra, right? So remember again, tuma, meaning the prohibition to go out and do avoda while you are tummy, is a prohibition that applies to everyone. Kishahutra the mikdash, when it was permitted to go ahead and do it in the basement of the Shabbos, what does that mean? Tuma was hutra in the mikdash. For example, you are permitted to offer karbanos tzibur in a state of tuma. As we've actually spoken about this before, let's say the majority of the tzibur is tummy. There's a concept of tuma hutra, but tzibur for communal offerings, there are times that you could even offer when you are tummy. Kishahutra the mikdash, eitzal kohanim tamimim, hutra kol kohanim tamimim. Excuse me, it's a kohanim tamimim hutra. It was only permitted for who? For regular kohanim, unblemished kohanim. The kohanim tamimim hutra, for the ba'ali mumin. And remember, it was only permitted for the dispensation for tuma was only permitted for regular kohanim, but not for kohanim who are ba'ali mumin. Yesh kan ba'ali mumin, v'yesh kan mishum tuma. Therefore, says Rabbi Chiya, there is a double prohibition. Number one, because the kohen did have odu ali was a ba'al mum. That's number one. Number two is that he did in a state of tuma. Therefore, you're going to be chayif twice. Hiskel Bar Kafra Ladon. So Bar Kafra begins to dash, and he says, Tuma l'kol ne'esra. Tuma really, Tuma remember, to go ahead and offer in the base of Mikdash in a state of Tuma is asur for everyone. Kisha hutra, b'mikdash hutra. Now, we'll say Bar Kafra's position is that once you find a dispensation for something, it becomes a categorical dispensation. So once there is the ability to offer karbanos in a state of tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, again, it's as if the prohibition of tumah is to a certain degree is hutra. So therefore, since there are possibilities in which tumah is hutra, therefore, in kan ela mishum balmum. Therefore, says Bar Kafra, you will only be chayiv for offering as a balmum. Okay, that's case two. Case three. Zar she'acha malika. That's another interesting case. Remember that there are bird offerings that are offered in the Beis HaMikdash that are offered in a very unique way called malika. So what does malika mean? You go ahead, the Kohanim would grow out their thumbnails. So you grow out your thumbnail, the Kohen would be holding the bird in his hand. He takes the bird is facing away from him. He takes his thumbnail, goes into the back of the neck, essentially again kills the bird with his nail, flicks off its head. That's called malika. So we'll say, interestingly enough, the Kohen is permitted to eat that bird. Now, what's the novelty in that? The novelty in that is that there's no shechita, right? So again, technically speaking, if you were to try Malika at home, aside from the other issues I would say you have if you try Malika at home, right? But again, if you were to try Malika at home, lemaisa, again, you can't eat that bird because that bird is a nevela. That bird is a nevela. Any animal that dies without proper shechita is called a nevela. So let's say you have a non-Kohen who does Malika and then he eats the bird. Rabbi Chiya Amar Chayiv Shtayim. Rabbi Chiya says you Chayiv twice. Again, why? Once for a non-Kohen doing the avoda, and number two for eating the nevela. Bar Kafra Omer, Bar Kafra says in Chayiv ala achas, only Chayiv once. Kafas Rabbi Chiya ben Ishah, so what's the same thing? Rabbi Chiya was jumping up and down and he swore, ha'avoda, kach shamati me Rabbi Ishtayim. I swear that Rabbi taught me that you're chayiv twice. Kafas bar kafra ben Ishah, bar kafra is jumping up and down and he said, ha'avoda, kach shamati me Rabbi Achos. I'm telling you, I learned from you that you're only chayiv once. Hischo Rabbi Chiya ladun, so Rabbi Chiya began to darshan, nevela lekol ne'esra, nevela is asr for everyone. Right, there's an issue of vela that is upon every person. Kisha hutra b'mikdash etzal kohanim hutra. Excuse me. Kisha hutra b'mikdash etzal kohanim hutra. Le kohanim hutra v'lo lezarim. The only time the vela is permitted is when is in the base of mikdash and for kohanim. But it's only kohanim have that dispensation. No one else does. Therefore, yesh kan mishum zaros. The yesh kan mishum malika. Therefore, there are two prohibitions that he's incurring over here. One is because he is a non kohen who is doing avoda. That's number one. And number two, he's eating nevela. His chil bar kafra ladun. So bar kafra begins the darshan. He says nevela lechom nesra. In reality, again, nevela is usher to everyone. However, kishahutra b'mikdash hutra. The laws of nevela don't apply in the base hamikdash, which means that once the Torah said that you could eat the bird nevela in the base hamikdash, so bar kafra is suggesting that lemaisa it means that prohibition in general does not apply in the base hamikdash, independent of whether or not the Malika itself is a good Malika. Therefore, he's not going to be chayef for Malika. However, he will be in kan ela mishum zaros. But he will be chayef for what? For being a non-Kohen, ultimately, again, who does the avodah. So we'll say, interestingly enough, what you see according to Bar Kafra is Bar Kafra seems to feel that in any situation where there is a Beis HaMikdash dispensation, even if someone else does that act, even though they're not a Kohen, they will not be chayiv for that act. They'll be chayiv for the secondary act that always applies, but for the act that is technically almost permitted in the temple, according to Bar Kafra, it almost becomes categorically permitted, even if a non-Kohen does it, and therefore they'll only be chayiv once. According to Rabbi Chiya, not true. The fact that certain acts are permitted in the Beis HaMikdash, they're only permitted within a certain context. For example, if a Kohen does it, but if a non-Kohen does it, then ultimately, again, there's no permission for that act, and therefore it'll be chayiv. But Micah Mirflagi, what are they arguing about? Says the Gemara, Be'isr Kolal, Va'alibud Rabbi Yossi. They're arguing about an Isr Kolal. But also remember, we spoke about this yesterday a little bit. An Isr Kolal is a secondary prohibition that has a wider reach than the first. Meaning, we spoke about yesterday two different things. You have an Isr Mosif. An Isr Mosif is, let's say you have Isr A, Isr number one, and then you have a secondary Isr, and that secondary Isr is more stringent or adds on some additional dimension than the first. Not everyone, but many agree that second Isser will be chal on the first. What about Isser Kolal? Isser Kolal, the secondary Isser, is no more chomer than the first, but what? It applies to more people. It has a greater reach. So what are they arguing about? With an Isser Kolal, according to Rabbi Yossi, I'll also look at Rashi, Valibut Rabbi Yossi, Da'amar Bishar Isurei, Isser Chal al Isser al Yedei Migos. Remember, Rabbi Yossi holds that by regular Isurim, we hold of Isser Chal al Isser, that one prohibition could go ahead and set in even when another one is already in existence. Let's play this out. Rabbi Yossi be Isser Kola Mechayef Tarti. Rabbi Chiya holds that according to Rabbi Yossi, even in a case of an Isser Kola, a secondary Isser with an expanded reach, we will say Isser Chal al Isser, and therefore if you commit both Isurim, you will be Chayef twice. Bar Kafra Savar Lo Mechayef El Echada. Right? Bar Kafra, on the other hand, holds that no, that according to Rabbi Yossi, even though he holds Isser Chal al Isser, in a case of Isser, when do we say Isser Chal al Isser according to Rabbi Yossi? Meaning, in Bar Kafra's interpretation of Rabbi Yossi's position, that Isser Chal al Isser, when is that true? That's true, ultimately, again, in the case of Isser Mosif, where the second Isser adds on something, but if the second Isser doesn't really add on anything in terms of severity, just has a wider reach, then no, Rabbi Yossi will not hold Isser Chal al Isser, and therefore he'll only be Chayiv once. Umay Isser Kolal Ikahacha. So let's analyze this. What is the Isser Kolel? What is the secondary Isser that has a greater reach in all three of these cases? Let's analyze this. Bishlama Zar Meikara Shari B'malacha V'Aser Ba'Avoda. So we'll say, remember, case number one was where the non-Kohen did Avoda on Shabbos. There are two things that are happening over here. Number one, he's a non-Kohen, is doing Avoda. That's number one. Right? Number two, he's violating Shabbos through the commission of the Avoda, through the actual Avoda itself. Fine. So the Gemara says, therefore, let's analyze this. Bishlam azam ne'ikar shar b'malacha. So remember, at first, a non-Kohen, is permitted in malacha v'aser ba'avoda. Meaning, let's say during the week, a non-Shabbos case. So if a non-Kohen walks into the Beis HaMikdash and wants to go ahead and do the avoda, he can't do the avoda, but he's permitted to do malacha. It's a weekday. Asyala Shabbos. Now Shabbos comes along. Migo to come, Mr. Bimalacha, Mr. Nami Ba'avoda. Since Shabbos comes along and makes him Asr Bimalacha, Shabbos also makes him Asr Ba'avoda. So, the Gemara is saying is like this. In the case of the Zar Sh'as Avoda, what was the first Isser he had? What was the first prohibition he had? First prohibition was Avoda, was being a Zar, right? Because remember, for 6 days out of the week, I have an Isra of Avoda, not an Isra of Malacha. So the assumption is, again, the first issue I have is that I'm a non-Kohen, I can't do Avoda. Fine, that Isra is there. Shabbos comes along, and Shabbos adds on an additional Isra. Now, the truth is, Shabbos is restricting even something more than Avoda did. Because Avoda says that what? Avoda says that I can't do Avoda. What does Shabbos say? What does Shabbos say? I can't do malacha. Malacha is more than even just avoda. Malacha is everything. So therefore, again, once Shabbos comes to go ahead and aser me in malacha, Shabbos also adds what? An additional dimension of prohibition upon what? Upon avoda. Therefore, using this logic, therefore, Rabbi Chiya would say that lamaisa, you would be chayiv twice. You'd be chayiv twice. So the Gemara says, next case. Ba'amum. We'll say, what was the second case? Ba'amum's a blemished Kohen who goes ahead and does the avoda. So we'll say, remember again, it was actually a bigger problem than that. This was a ba'amum who is tamei. So, right, two issues over here. Kohen is disqualified on two accounts. Number one, he's blemished. Number two, he's tamei. Two reasons he can't do the avoda. So remember again, what do we say in this case? So the Gemara says, Me'ikara shari ba'achila v'asar ba'avod. Now remember again, at first, before he's tamei, he is permitted to eat, because remember again, even a kohen who's a bal mum is permitted to eat sacrificial, he can't do avoda, but he's permitted to eat sacrificial items, karbanos. So when he was a bal mum at first, so therefore what? He's permitted to eat, but he's not permitted in avoda. Itmila, then what happens, Rabbi Hussein? He becomes tamei. Migo dekam Mr. Ba'achila, Mr. Nami Ba'avoda. So we'll say, what happens when he becomes tamei? So the Tuma now goes ahead and forbids that which he was prohibited to do. That which he was permitted to do. He was permitted to eat as a balmum. Tuma comes along and says that what? Now he can't even eat. Bless you. Once Tuma says that he can't eat, what else does it aser? It also asers the avod. As well, so you see what the Gemara is doing over here? That once you have a secondary prohibition that prohibits something new, that prohibition will also extend to what? To the other act as well. So for example, over here, I'm a coin who's a balmum, and I'm tamei. The assumption is I was a baal mum first before I became tamei. Therefore, as a baal mum, I can't do avoda, but I can eat. I become tamei now. What does tuma do? Tuma prohibits my ability to eat. Tuma limit. I can no longer eat. Once tuma prohibits consumption, therefore therefore tuma will also go ahead and devolve upon what? My ability to go ahead and do avoda. Even though I already couldn't do avoda because I was a baal mum, now there's a secondary reason I can't do avoda also because I'm now tamei. Ella Malika Baba Sachasi. But the problem, of course, you get into is in the case of Malika, because they're both like, in the previous two cases, the reason I could set up these cases of a secondary prohibition coming along and including the first is why? Because the secondary prohibition occurs at a later time than the first. But in the case of Malika, essentially, again, everything happens at once. Why does everything happen at once? Well, say, because remember, look at Rashi. Ela Malika, kola lo mishkachas la, da bishas Malika, chayli tarvayu. the chol's munch, because Rabbi Yossi, remember again, what happens on Malika? The moment that I do the Malika, that's when I've done the avoda, and that's also what? That's when it becomes an avela, right? So everything is happening at the same time. Chayli tarvayu, the chol's munch, I'm reading Rashi, the chol's munch, no nimlika, hiahaya aleha, isra mi'ila, velo zehu isra zaras, ha'omer bekarban, shenitra la'achilas kohanim, ukisha nimlika, veniris la'kohanim, pakam in a isra zaras mi'ila, v'chayla le isra zaras, tizar lo yochal, the isra malika, be isra basacha. So when it comes to malika, everything happens at once. The Gemara says, "The mishkachasla be iser kolal mishkachasla." Therefore, there is no case of iser kolal, of a secondary iser adding on an additional dimension to malika. Ella, therefore, again, Rabbi says, remember, we wanted to suggest. The Gemara wanted to suggest that lemaisa, what Bar Kafra and Rabbi Chiya were arguing about, was in the position of Rabbi Yossi about whether or not Isser Kolel works, whether or not we say Isser Chalal Isser in a Isser Kolel. Now you've just established is that logic works for two out of the three cases, but for the third case you can't see it. Now therefore we have to go back to the drawing board and try to figure out what Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kafra are arguing about. Ella, kamiflagi be Isser bebasachos. Well, say, listen to this. Rather, what are they arguing about? They are arguing about simultaneous prohibitions, va'alibud Rabbi Yossi, and still in Rabbi Yossi holds Isser Chalal Isser. Now we'll say, now what does this mean? Rabbi Chiya holds the following, be'isser basachos mechayve tarti, that when you have two prohibitions, Rabbi Yossi, that occur simultaneously, you are chayiv twice. You are chayiv twice. Ubar kafra savar lo mechayiv elachada. Bar Kafra, on the other hand, holds that no, when you have two simultaneous prohibitions, you are only chayiv once. You are only chayiv once. V'hacha my yisr bas achas ika. And here, what is, now we'll say, so again, remember, so what the Gemara now is suggesting is machlokes Bar Kafra and Rabbi Chiya is in simultaneous prohibitions. If I do an act that results in two simultaneous violations, am I chayiv once or am I chayiv twice? Rabbi Chiya says twice, Bar Kafra says once. Now we'll say, now, in order for this explanation to work, remember what has to happen, you have to be able to plug it into the three cases we mentioned on Lamed Beis, Amud Beis. Let's go through this. So let's analyze this. So the Gemara says, Zar shish, I'm sorry. Bar Kafra zom mechayim elchadav. Hacha my iser basachasika. So the Gemara says, Hacha zar. So the Gemara says, Zar shishimish b'Shabbes. So we'll say. So what's the case? Remember, we have the non-kohen who did avodah on Shabbos. So remember again, he's violating two things. A, he's a non-kohen. And B is violating Shabbos. So both say, how can you have this situation of Basachas? This is interesting. Kigon da'isi shtei sa'aros b'Shabbos, where he displays two hairs, two pubic hairs, as a sign of physical maturation and therefore his entry into adulthood on Shabbos itself. And both say, so what's the chap of this? Look at Rashi. It's actually very interesting. Second wide line in Rashi. Kigon da'isi shtei sa'aros hayom. B'Shabbos zu, dahashta lekalamim rakid le'elmei kar sharbim malacha v'asr ba'avoda, daha lo chal shum Israelav ad hayom, the Isra Zaros to Isra Shabbos yachad bo. Bose, listen to this, it's very interesting. You see, in the previous case, remember we said that the prohibition of a Zar was first, and then Shabbos comes along later on. If he becomes an adult on Shabbos, then what happens? Both prohibitions devolve upon him simultaneously, right? And the because remember, if he brings these two hairs, if he becomes a gadol, essentially on Shabbos, that means again that the prohibition to violate Shabbos and the prohibition to do avodah if he's an non-kohen occur simultaneously. Therefore, if he were to go ahead and now do, if he were to do a prohibited act on Shabbos, he would simultaneously violate A, being a zar, a non-kohen, and B, violating Shabbos. So we'll say, this is a little bit different than the way we normally think about simultaneous violation. We normally, but the way the Gemara is understanding it over here is that both prohibitions devolve upon him at the same time. When he becomes a gadol on Shabbos, the prohibition, if he's not a kohen, to do avodah, and the prohibition of violating Shabbos occur upon him on the same time. So therefore, again, when he acts upon that, there are two simultaneous violations that are incurred. So the Gemara says, next, Balmum, remember again, we'll say case number two was the Balmum who is Tameh who does Avoda. Balmum who is Tameh who does Avoda. So how can you have simultaneity in this case? Hach, so the Gemara says, Nami kagonda aisi shte saros vi itmile. So we'll say again, very simple. It could be the same exact idea. Look at Rashi.
Saros.
Ubishas habat chalushneim sheishneim tluyin alav. So it's actually very interesting. So the simple understanding of it is that he becomes tameh at the moment that he displays signs of physical maturation, and therefore again Rabosai, in that case obviously the mum was there already. So now he's a baal mum and he becomes tameh at the same time. Okay, Davli Bamum. Rashi has a little bit of a different interpretation of it. Rashi explains that it could be that he was exposed to the Tumah beforehand. He was exposed to the Tumah beforehand, but the fact that he's a Bamum does not become meaningful ultimately again until he becomes a Gadol. I will say, but again, I just think it's simpler to say that Lamaisa could be that he's mamish being exposed to Tumah at the moment that he displays signs of physical maturity, in which case Lamaisa, again, the Tumah, as well as the Bamum Kite, devolve upon him at the same time. Inami, I will say, here's actually a simpler case. Shechatach etzba'o besakin tineya. All right, not pleasant, but it works, right? Which is what? Where he cuts off his finger with a tummy knife. So I'll say, if he cuts off his finger with a tummy knife, then what is he doing? There's simultaneity. What's the simultaneity? He's becoming a baal mum. And remember, the tummy knife could communicate to him, and that's all happening at the same time. Bishlama l'Rabbi Chiya, ki asne l'dide aliba d'Rabbi Yossi, ki asni lebar kafra aliba de Reb Shimon. The Rabbi will say, according to Rabbi Chiya, remember Rabbi Chiya was the one who holds that in these cases of simultaneity you're going to be chayef twice. So Rabbi Chiya's position would make sense. Why? Because you could say, remember, he's going according to Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Yossi holds iser chalal iser, and therefore you could be chayef twice. However, bar kafra seems to go ahead and be reflecting the view of Rabbi Shimon, and Rabbi Shimon does not hold of iser chalal iser, even if it's basachos. He does not hold that one prohibition could devolve upon another, even when there is simultaneity. El bar kafra, Rabbi Chiya shakuri kamashaker. But according to bar kafra, does he think that Rabbi Chiya is lying about what Rabbi said? That Rabbi said yichayev twice. Ella, the Gemara says, kamifligi be iser basachos. Rather, it must be that both Rabbi Chiya and Bar Kafra agree with the notion of Rabbi Shimon that Isser Chal al Isser. What's their fundamental dispute? Is Isser Chal al Isser bebasachos? Does Isser Chal al Isser if both prohibitions are simultaneous? Bishlama Rabbi Chiya kamishtaba la'afuke Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Chiya, I understand that ultimately, why does he swear that Rabbi told him that Shechayev twice to go ahead and uproot Rabbi Shimon from his position? Meaning that lest you think that even though Rabbi Shimon holds Isser Chalal Isser, perhaps he doesn't hold it by Basachos, and therefore Rabbi Chiya is coming along to say, I swear that Rabbi told me that Isser Chalal Isser, even Basachos. El Bar Kafra, Lame Leili Shtabui. But according to Bar Kafra, why does Bar Kafra need to swear? To which the Gemara says, Kasha. You know what? That is a good question. So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, Bishlam Bar Kafra, ki asniye Rebbe, lidide aliba de Reb Shimon. Now according to Bar Kafra, I'll say it makes sense, because when Rebbe ultimately stated his own position, he was stating it in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, who holds Isser Chalal Isser. Ki asel Rabbi Chiya, and yet again, when Rabbi Chiya taught his position, aliba de Rabbi Yossi, it was teaching it according to Rabbi Yossi, who holds Isser Chalal Isser. Rabbi Shimon holds Ein Isser Chalal Isser. El Rabbi Chiya Bar Kafra, Shakuri Kamashakar, according to Rabbi Chiya, is Bar Kafra lying? Omel Rabbi Chiya, ki asnye Rebbe lidide. Lididei, tarti liftar. So when Rebbe was teaching this din to Bar Kafra, he was teaching Bar Kafra that there are two cases in which you are exempt. Tarti liftar asniye v'isser amad beis v'isser kolal asniye. So I'll say interesting. So now Rabbi Chiya is suggesting that when Rebbe taught Bar Kafra these halachas, so Rabbi taught Bar Kafra the following. He taught Bar Kafra that there are two cases, bless you, there are two cases in which you have to paskin, that they are, bless you, that they are permitted, and Isser Kola Asni, and he taught him ultimately again about the concept of Isser Kola. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, V'Isser Kola Asni, top of all, Lamed Gimel Amad Beis. Kilomar Hechi Di Isrami Ayide Kolel Asni on Rebbe Petura. So the Gemara is suggesting over here is that when Rebbe taught that Lemais, again, you could be potter for the second prohibition, that's talking about, again, with an Isser Kolal, meaning an Isser that's not necessarily more severe, but has a greater reach, and that's in accordance with Rabbi Shimon, who holds in Isser Chalal Isser. Ve'hecha di Isramu Bebas Achos, Asnion Chayuva, Aval Malika lo asni liftor klal de lo mashkech la bekodel elibas achos. So we'll say again, remember that third case, which is Malika, we pointed out before, cannot be taught really as an Isser Kolal case, but rather that's only a Bas Achos case. So the Gemara says, Valibus Rabbi Shimon, Vechazi le Bar Kafra. Bar Kafra, what did he do? He looked at the case of Lizar Sha'achal Malika. He looked at the case of the Zar, the non-Kohen, who did Malika and then ate the Nevela, ate the bird. And he said to himself like this, Va'aydi de Damye le Arva Bahadayu. And since in Bar Kafra's estimation, the case of Malika resembled the other two cases, he included it in all three, even though, again, the first two are really separate than the Malika case. And the chiddush of this is, Bar Kafra did this, even though he did not hear this directly from Rebbe. Va'ayin ba, v'lo ashkach ala basachos. And then upon further contemplation, Bar Kafra realized that the only way to set up the Malika case is in a case of basachos, in a case ultimately, again, where everything is occurring simultaneously. V'savar, midahava basachos, and he assumed that since the Malika case only occurs in a basachos case, hachanami basachos, so to the other cases, the other two cases, the previous two cases, must also be basachos, umedahanach liftar, and the same way, ultimately, again, that those cases were pater from the second prohibition, hanach nami lifter, so too this case of Malika should also be pater as well. Okay, Mesis, the one raises the kasha. Zar sheshimish b'shabes, ubal mum sheshimish b'tuma, yesh bo mishum zaros, umishum shabes, umishum bal mum, umishum tuma, div Rabbi Yossi. So, mostly, what does the Braisa say? If you have a non-kohen who did avoda on Shabbos, or you have a bal mum who went ahead and did the avoda while in a state of deficiency, in a state of having the mum, what does the Raisa say? You're chayiv for being a non-kohen who does avoda, you're chayiv for violating Shabbos, you're chayiv for being a bal mum, and you're chayiv for tuma. These are the words of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shimon says, "Ein kan ela mishum zaros ubal mum bilvad." Rabbi Shimon, on the other hand, says that what? You're only chayiv for zaros, which means, again, you're chayiv for being a non-kohen who does the avodah, and you're chayiv for being a bal mum. We'll say, so what's happening over here? Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Yossi holds you chayiv for everything. Now remember, that's not a chiddush, because Rabbi Yossi holds what? Isser chal al isser. That's one prohibition could go out and devolve upon another. Therefore, again, even though I'm already a zar, I can still be chayiv for violating Shabbos. And even though I'm already a bal mum, I can still be chayiv for doing avodah instead of tumah. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon holds that what are you chayiv for? Only for the first prohibition you encounter. But you are not, but we say, ain't Isser Chalal Isser, therefore you will not be chayiv for subsequent prohibitions. So the Gemara says, let's analyze this. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Amar, ain't kan ela mishum zaros ubal mum bilvad. V'ilu melika shaira. But interestingly enough, Malika is left out, right? Meaning why, so we'll say, what happened over here is something very interesting. This Braisa quotes two of the three cases we mentioned on Lamed Beis Amud Beis, right? It mentioned again the Zar, the non-kohen who did avoda on Shabbos. It mentioned the Bal Mum who did avoda betuma, but yet what? It left out the Zar who did Malika. Why did it leave out the Zar who did Malika case? So the Gemara says, Ilei Mother Rabbi Yossi. Now, if you say you left out because Rabbi Yossi, that can't be. Hash Rabbi Yossi be Isser Kola al Mechayiv Shtayim be Isser Basachas Mibai. Then I will say, listen to this. If Rabbi Yossi holds that you're Chayiv twice, for what? You're chayiv twice for an Isser Kola, right? When one Isser builds upon the other in a successive progression. If Rabbi Yossi even holds that you're chayiv twice for an Isser Kola, he certainly holds that what? That you're chayiv twice for an Isser Basachos, when the two Isserim occur simultaneously. So you've already established on Amud Aleph that the case of Malika is a case of Isser Basachos, where both Isserim are occurring simultaneously. Therefore, according to Rabbi Yossi, the case of Malika should definitely be included. Ella love the Rabbi Shimon. Rather, it must be according to Rabbi Shimon. Ubi Isra Kolel Hu Depater, Aval Bi Isra Bas Achas Mechayiv. And according to Rabbi Shimon, it's only in a case of Isra Kolel. It's only in a case of successive Isurim that Rabbi Shimon holds that your pater. Meaning, but if they occur simultaneously, even Rabbi Shimon would agree that what? Even Rabbi Shimon would agree that Lamaisa, you would be Chayiv twice. I'm sorry. Ela b'shem b'isra kolahu d'ksamvia. Ela b'isra kolahu d'pater. Aval b'isra basachas mechayiv. That it's only according to Rabbi Shimon. When does he say that ain isra chalal isra? That's when Rabbi said that's an isra kolah. When there are two successive isurim. However, again, if the isurim occur at the same time, then lemaisi even Rabbi Shimon would agree that you are chayiv twice. Therefore, the Gemara says tiyufta de bar kafra tiyufta. This effectively refutes the position of Bar Kafra. It effectively refutes the position of Bar Kafra. And I will say, just so you should know, Lemaisa, the way we paskin in this sugya is we really do paskin like Rabbi Chiya, that in these cases you would be chayif twice. Now again, the way the Rambam qualifies this ruling is, first of all, we're talking about over here in two things. First of all, we pass like Rabbi Chiya in both accounts. Number one, if it's Isser Kolal, right? And even if again, well, let's work backwards. You're chayiv twice b'bas achos. If you go ahead and you violate one act that brings with it two prohibitions, you would be chayiv twice. And also, remember, when we speak about being chayiv twice, what does being chayiv twice actually mean? So being chayiv twice, let's say if you did the acts accidentally, let's say, again, I'm a non-Kohen who does avod in the Beis HaMikdash, and I forgot, I didn't know two things. Number one, I didn't know that a non-Kohen can't do avod in the Beis HaMikdash, and I didn't know that you can't do avod on Shabbos. Let's say I didn't know those two things. So I'd be chayiv twice, meaning two karban chatos, two karbanos. That's in the case of Basachos. We also paskin, like Rabbi Chiya, in a case of Isser Kolal. Even if they are successive Isurim, even if what? The second Isser is not more severe than the first. It just has a broader reach. We also hold that you are Chayiv twice. So we hold like Rabbi Chiya across the board. So the Gemara goes weiter. Actually, we're not finished this yet. So the Gemara says the following. Zar Shashimish B'Shabbos B'Mayin. I will say, now the Gemara goes back and analyzes this case a little bit. So the Gemara says, when we spoke about the case of the non-Kohen who does avoda on Shabbos. So remember, again, so we had Rabbi Chiya who says that you're chayiv twice, Bar Kafra said you're chayiv once. So what exactly is it that you have done, right? B'mai, what malacha has the Tzar performed on Shabbos? Ibishchita, if you want to say he shechted a karban, that can't be an issue of Zaros, why not? Because Shechita b'Zar k'sheira. But remember, what is the halacha? In general, again, Shechita need not be done by a Kohen. Shechita can be done by a non-Kohen as well. So if it's Shechita, that wouldn't be an issue. Remember, also, when we speak about Zaros, Zaros refers to the prohibition of a non-Kohen doing avoda. So it can't be talking about Shechita because Shechita can be done by a non-Kohen. V'i b'kabbalah v'halacha. So maybe you're going to say it's the receiving of the blood and the transporting of the blood to the Mizbeach. That can't either. Why? Because that's tiltul ba'ama. You can't call that real avoda. That's just movement. That's just carrying. So the Gemara says, Ibahaktara, if you want to refer to the fact that he burned the offering on the Mizbeach, let's listen to this. Vamar Rabbi Yossi says, Havara lilav yatzasa. Remember, again, we've had this a number of times already, that the Torah on one hand says, Komalecha savado lo sasa, you can't do any malacha, and then the Torah singles out, lo sevaru ish b'chomosh v'sich mimah Shabbos, that you can't kindle a fire. There's a big machlokes as to why kindling was singled out. So was it singled out, l'chalek yetzasa, to teach us that you are chayiv for every single malacha you do on Shabbos, or the lav yetzasa. There is a position that holds, there's Rabbi Yossi who holds, that even though for all other malachas, if you do them on Shabbos, you'll be chayiv a death penalty. However, when it comes to kindling a fire, if you did it, it's only violating a lav. So therefore, again, I can't say that I've violated Shabbos with Havara, because all that is according to Rabbi Yossi is just simply a lav. So what's the case? Amar Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Bishchitas Paro Shel Kohen Gadol. So also, what are we talking about over here? We're talking about what did the Tzar shecht? This guy went for the gold, right? He didn't just shecht any carbon. He shechted the par of the Kohen Gadol. The par of the Kohen Gadol. And I will say, when is that? Watch this. That gets better, by the way. What's the par of the Kohen Gadol? B'yom HaKippurim. Wow. Right? Mamish. Like, this guy. I don't know how he's like a streaker. I don't know how he got in here. Right? You know, he jumped off the stands over here. He ran into the face of Mikdash with knife in hand. He's like that nut who started this whole thing in the soccer stadium there at Yisrael 2 days ago. If you saw this on the news. Right? There was this guy. Whatever. It's not important. In any event. So what happened? Mamish. So this guy runs out. He runs from the bleachers of the Beis HaMikdash on Yom Kippur and shechts the power of the Kohen Gadol. On Shabbos, by the way, right? It's Yom Kippur, Shabbos, and he runs and he shechts the power of the Kohen Gadol. So what happens? So the Gemara says, oh yes, so in that case, bizarre psula. So we'll say that's one case where everyone agrees that what? Where although normally shchita of karbonos does not require a kohen, the power of the kohen gadol of Yom Kippur absolutely requires a kohen. That's part, meaning that's part of the kohen gadol's avoda. So that would be a case of zaris. Ihachi, my area zar, I feel a kohen hedyotami. The truth is, we'll say, if that's the case, that you're setting up the case over here now as the power of the kohen gadol on Yom Kippur, that's just not a din, a non-kohen. Even a regular kohen is not permitted to go out and do that, to which the Gemara says, my ear is zar, I feel a coin hedjonami, to which the Gemara says, you're right, shezar etzlo ka'amar. You're right, in this context, zar does not have to be a non-kohen. Zar means anyone who is alien to this avoda. Anyone. So in this case, now that we're setting it up, dealing with the part of the kohen gadol, it could be that a Yisrael shechted it, or it could even be that a regular kohen shechted it, and the case would be the same. Essentially, someone shechted a karban that they were not permitted to shecht. Therefore, again, you can't call it avoda. You have to call it malacha. So there's a dual prohibition. A, it was a zar who did it, non-kohen did it, or a regular kohen did it. And number two, therefore, it's a malacha. So the Gemara says, therefore, we'll say the Gemara just, all the Gemara was just trying to do was trying to shed clarity on that case. The machlokas is still the same. Rabbi Chiyah would say you'd be chayiv twice. Bar Karfa would say you'd be chayiv once. So the Gemara says, maskif la Rav Ashi. So we'll say Rav Ashi raises a kasha. Now, what's Rav Ashi's problem over here? So Rav Ashi's problem of, well, look at Rav Ashi. So the Gemara says, maskif la Rav Ashi. Midi chataos katani, olavi katani. So we'll say, Rav Ashi goes all the way back. And remember again, when Rabbi Chiyah says you're chayiv twice, or Bar Kafra says you're chayiv once, so Rav Ashi says, what are they talking about? You're chayiv what? Are we talking about over here, you know, why don't they use the lashon of chatos? So we'll also remember, when would you bring a chatos? When they bring a carbon chatos? If you violate something accidentally. So why don't they phrase the nature of the machlokas is, you'd be chayiv to chatos, or you'd be chayiv to lavim. Right, why don't they go, all they say, all in their lashon of the machlokas is, chayiv shtayim or chayiv achas. What are you chayiv over here? To which the Gemara says, I'll tell you, remember we had this yesterday as well. That Lamaisa again, Lamaisa, Bar Kafra and Rabbi Chiyah don't phrase their machlokis in terms of chatos. Rather, they just refer to it. They just discuss it in terms of isurim. So what's the nafkamina? What's the practical difference if you're chayiv once, you're chayiv twice? I said, what the practical difference is? We spoke about yesterday. If you are executed by the Beis Din because of your infraction, let's say a person did this intentionally, and therefore they'd be executed again for this violation, where are you buried? Remember again, if you say that for this double act, you're only chayiv once, then the mice again, okay, you get executed, but you could be buried in a cemetery of the not-so-bad guys. However, again, if your act resulted in a dual infraction, right, which means you intentionally violated two things, then the mice, again, that's called the Rasha Gomer. And if you're a Rasha Gomer, you are buried in a special cemetery for a Shaim Gimurin. Okay, so it says in Shabbos, again, as I stated before, Haloch Lemaisa, we pass again like Rabbi Chiyah, and in a case of an act that ultimately carries with it that has two prohibitions, whether those prohibitions aren't Isser Kola, one after the other, or those prohibitions are Basachas, one will be Chayif twice for the act. Says the Mishnah. We'll say another case, a very interesting case actually. Shnaim Shekichu Shtei Nashim, two men, so married two women. Ubishas knisasan lechupa hechlifu eshal zet leze veeshal zet leze. So don't ask how. Don't ask how. The how is irrelevant, right? What happens? Two men married two women, and their wives get mixed up. Now, I will say, in all actuality, we will discuss exactly what the nature of the situation over here, right? So their wives get mixed up with each other. So what's the halacha? So meaning we're not sure exactly who it is that's married to who. So what happens? Hare elu, and I will say, again, the assumptions we're going to see, by the way, we'll see this more in Ksuvis, but knisasan l'chuppah doesn't just mean that simply standing under the chuppah. Knisasan l'chuppah means that yichud, and ultimately they had relations. So what's that halacha? What's the halacha? Hare ilu chayavim mishum eishes ish. So we'll say, obviously, again, they are both chayiv for the act of adultery. Now, obviously, we're going to have to define what that means. What that means that they're chayiv for adultery, but eishes ish. And furthermore, v'im hayu mishum, excuse me, v'im hayu achin, and ultimately, if the two men were brothers, mishum eishes ach, not only would they be in violation of adultery, but what? They'd also be in violation of having relations with one's brother's wife. V'im hayu ach, and if these women were sisters, then not only would they be chagaja, not only would they be chayiv for adultery, not only would they be chayiv for a brother's wife, but what else? Mishum eisha elachosa. They'd also be chayiv for what? They'd also be chayiv for a wife's sister, and it gets better. Vim hayu nidos, and if both of the women were nidos, then what? Mishum nida, you'd be chayiv for nida. Umafrishin osan shlosha chadoshin. Now, we'll say, now this is actually very interesting. Rashi says over like this. So let's say, let's say you're able to straighten out who is married to who. Now, I'll say, we'll discuss in that, obviously, there's a lot of blanks we have to fill in this case over here. But let's say you're able to straighten out. So what is the halacha? We wait 3 months. We separate the husband and wives from each other for 3 months, right? Because again, if they accidentally mixed up who is married to who, and each man lived with the other man's wife, so we don't want each wife to go back to her real husband. Why? Because in the event that she's pregnant from the second man, then what's the status of that child? That child is a mamzer. If she goes back to her husband immediately, then we're not going to be able to tell who the pregnancy is from, which is going to lead us to the case of Safik Mamzeros. Therefore, Rabbi said, we have this concept in many situations in Halacha called Havchana. Havchana is a 3-month waiting period where man and woman are not permitted to live with each other to make sure that if she is pregnant, again, because after 3 months we'll know if she's pregnant or not, that if she is pregnant, we know ultimately, again, who the child is, or why 3 months. Because remember, again, at 3 months is when a woman objectively begins to show. Remember, there's no pregnancy tests. So obviously, that's when a woman objectively begins. Obviously, some women could begin to show earlier, some women could begin to show later. But 3 months was the established time where a woman normally begins to show some external signs of pregnancy. Because remember, again, I will say, even if you want to say, well, again, isn't there another telltale sign that she's pregnant? Which is, again, she won't menstruate. Right? She won't get a period. So remember again, in halacha, in order for the absence of menstruation to be a sign of pregnancy, you have to have a chazaka that she has stopped menstruating. When do you have a chazaka that she stopped menstruating? After 3 months. So either way, the 3-month period ultimately, again, is how long you're going to take to establish if she's pregnant or not. Vimhayu kitanos, she'enon ru'uyos leilet. But again, let's say they were married to minor girls who ultimately are too young to become pregnant, machzirin osan miyad. Then Rabbi say what? Then they would be permitted to go back to their rightful husbands immediately because, again, there's no concern of pregnancy. Vimhayu kohanos, and if these women were kohanos, then what? Meaning bas kohanim, then what? Nifsilu minat truma. They are no longer permitted to eat truma. And we'll discuss in the Gemara why that is. So says the Gemara, huchlufu. So I'll say, here's what's interesting. The Lashon of the Mishnah is very strange because what it says is, shtayim shekichu shtei nashim b'shas k'nisas l'chopa, hichlifu eshazer. I'll say, you know what this sounds like? It sounds, except immoral. Hichlifu sounds like what? It's an intentional swap. So what are you talking about? The Gemara says hichlifu. Midi bereshi askinon. Are we dealing with rishayim who are literally engaging in this type of immoral activity? V'su hadatani Rabbi Chiya hari kan sheishes rechatos. Iba mezid. So I say, actually, you know what? We're going to stop over here for today. I promise it'll get interesting tomorrow as well. So with the Gemara, so remember, we're just leaving off with the Kasha. The Gemara is bothered just by the verbiage of the Mishnah. Hechlifu, they exchanged, makes it sound like this was a willful act. How could it be that the Mishnah is talking about, again, such immoral individuals? We'll pick up with that Amir Hashem tomorrow.